The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
Namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, so indeed, korup, guten tag, ciao, vivi, va, cat, bang, half a day, chai, janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan. From the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated, McNugget pharmaceutical, vivisection prison, killitary industrial, core poor nation, in the cheese-covered, post-constitutional, bankster, bankrupt, corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, foodborne in the USA, home of Uncle Salmonella, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and I'm the guy with Daisy. Yeah, yesterday, Daisy and I were walking around the Mission District in San Francisco, and a group of people there pass them by, and they say, "Is that Daisy? Daisy, come here, Daisy." And I didn't know these people, but they recognized her. They listened to this radio program. They recognized her on Facebook. So we know who the celebrity in the family is, right? So she's the boss. She's the celebrity. You know, see her on Facebook and I'm a mess today. So many tabs open. I'm gonna really confuse myself. Half of them to do with today's radio program. Half of them to do with preparation for my court trial tomorrow. I have to go to Redwood City. My computer screen is just a mess of confusion. Am I boycotting Canadian seafood? Why do I have that up there? Or am I boycotting the city of Daly City and San Mateo County? This is personal stuff, I guess. Why am I talking about it on the air? But, I suppose I've been boycotting Canadian seafood and all seafood for at least 32 years, except for seaweed. Remember when the Humane Society of the United States was saying, I guess it was because of the seal massacre, where they were saying, boycott Canadian seafood, as if certain fish had maple leaves tattooed on them. Wasn't it HSUS also who said, eat dolphin safe tuna? Back then, I was concerned about, you know, tuna safe tuna. And by the way, if you mash up garbanzo beans and put in some veggies and cut up a red onion and celery and have that as a sandwich, you know, you'd never miss tuna fish again. I guess in terms of boycotting Canadian seafood these days, does that mean boycotting GMO salmon? Hopefully I'll get to that in today's show if I get past my personal problems here. I'm seriously boycotting Daly City and San Mateo County. That's because of their their red light traffic camera ripoff program. Oh, that's so upsetting to me. You know, I still have the, unfortunately, I still have the same study habits as back in college, which means cram the night before. So I'm going to have to look up all the laws and related to red light cameras. And I'm, so I guess I'm likely to be confusing animal issues today with red light camera issues. Yeah, my trial tomorrow. You know, if I'm found guilty, I'll be paying a price higher than Bush and Cheney and Hillary Clinton for an illegal war in Iraq. You believe that? Something like $400. So it's worth it to show up there, see if the officer of the law shows up. I don't know, it's what, 1:30? Shouldn't he be out tasing somebody at that time instead of showing up to my court date? I wish I knew. I wouldn't spend all my time looking at red light camera laws tonight. But you know, like as a citizen, it's like enough is enough. You know, I've had it with corrupt politicians. You know, they're everywhere, from Daly City in San Mateo County, which I'm boycotting. You know, to the election officials in Arizona, to our climate deniers. You know, and that's Obama included. Let's see. So, how long is a yellow light required to last? Oops, wrong tab, sorry. I don't know. How can I do my job trying to save animals from, you know, those who eat them, eat their secretions, you know? My job trying to save the world from climate change. If I'm calculating the velocity of a vehicle entering an intersection, all right, so don't expect much from today's show, okay? I'm kind of half paying attention to traffic laws here. There is, there were details of a new study released just a few days ago in Nature. Antarctic model raises prospect of unstoppable ice collapse. So, why am I worried about, you know, traffic citation when sea levels could rise by more than 15 meters, well, it says by 2500, if greenhouse gas emissions continue to grow. 15 meters, that's 30, like that, that's like 45 feet, isn't it? Wow, pretty amazing. But, you know, I mean, on this program, we have talked about the fact that we need a massive movement to veganism. 50 to 85% of people consuming so-called livestock products have to go vegan by 2020, or we face submersion in the not-too-distant future. 1,700 U.S. cities face submersion, looking at around 2050, 2060. So there's an article in Nature by Jeff Tollefson, and it says recent study suggests that the Antarctic ice sheet is much less stable than scientists once thought. Remember, it's always worse than they say it is, so we have to act. Maybe we need 50 to 85% new vegans by, you know, 2019 instead of 2020. So the article says, choices that the world makes this century could determine the fate of the massive Antarctic ice sheet. A study published online this week in Nature finds that continued growth in greenhouse gas emissions over the next several decades could trigger an unstoppable collapse of Antarctica ice, raising sea levels by more than a meter by 2100, more than 15 meters by 2500. And you remember, a meter is like about the size of a yard, right about 3 feet. For the those of us who talk Fahrenheit. It says here, that is literally remapping how the planet looks from space. But hey, we won't be here, right? It'll just be our children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren. What do we care, huh? We can have our fun. We can eat our meat, dairy, fish, and eggs and destroy the world. Deforest everything, use up all the resources. Who cares about future generations? You know, the remapping the planet is from a study co-authored by Robert DeCanto, who is a geoscientist at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. But it says, the good news, he says, is that it projects little or no sea level rise from Antarctic melt if greenhouse gas emissions are reduced quickly enough to limit the average global temperature rise to about 2 degrees Celsius. The findings add to a growing body of research that suggests that Antarctic ice is less stable than once thought. In its 2013 report, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change estimated that Antarctic melting would contribute just a few centimeters to sea level rise by 2100. But as scientists develop better understanding of how the ocean and atmosphere affect the ice sheet, their projections of the continent's future are growing more dire. Do I have to be the only one here to talk reality about climate change and that the only solution is to go vegan? The only solution is to go vegan. Nothing else works. Not Obama's plan here. I'm have so many tabs open. Where's the tab that I wanted to see? Oh, okay. So, what could disappear? You know, with the scientists predicting that let's say 25-foot rise, which is less than the most dire predictions that they are giving us. So, Sacramento. Let's see, Sacramento, 62% would be flooded. And this is permanent flooding, by the way, so it's a new map. 62% flooded in Sacramento. San Francisco, 19% flooded. Nearly two-thirds of Sacramento, including downtown, inundated, gone forever here in Northern California. Am I on the right? Am I on the 25-foot one? Let's see here. Yeah, okay. Philadelphia, 21% flooded. Portland, Oregon, 16% flooded. Providence, Rhode Island. No, it was higher than this. Why? Maybe I'm... Let me see here. Okay. Where else are we looking here? Savannah, Georgia, 87% flooded. Seattle, what does it say? It says, time for a break. Am I looking at the right map here? Oh, well, I'll take a look at it. Coming up on today's program, Shoshana Castle, co-author of Rethink Food, 100-plus Doctors Can't Be Wrong. We will look at the GMO salmon, and we will continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Facebook, GoVeganRadio with Bob Linden, and you can register now for the World Vegan Summit and Expo at WorldVeganSummit.com, and you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our work on air and organizing events by finding the donate button at GoVeganRadio.com. We're talking about new study, dire predictions, and let's face it, animal agriculture is the number one cause of climate change, responsible for at least 51% of all human-generated greenhouse gas emissions. So, you know, we have to go vegan to combat you know, the dire predictions. You see, we're just talking about with the ice melting, which is still preventable if we go vegan, like immediately. But they're talking about 15-meter rises in sea level. That's about 45 feet. And yet, in the New York Times, there were these maps just talking about 25 feet above where we are right now. And what would happen? Well, and areas would be flooded and permanently gone. Our maps would look totally different. Cambridge, Massachusetts, 86% would be flooded and gone forever. Boston, 37% flooded, gone forever. And let's see. Houston, only 5% gone, but Galveston, 100% flooded, no more Galveston. Jacksonville, Florida, 56% gone. Los Angeles, 3% gone. Long Beach, California, 45%. Oh, Huntington Beach, 72% gone forever. And then Miami. Miami, 99% flooded. Goodbye, Miami, Florida. Miami Beach, 100% flooded. South Beach, where I used to work at Love 94. Scuba gear or die, apparently, right? And let's see, Jersey City, 62% flooded and gone. Newark, 52% flooded. So there, Gary Francione would not be able to go to work at Rutgers University. By the way, he's off tonight for personal reasons. We'll be back next week. New Orleans, 100% flooded, gone. Now, New York City, my hometown, 39% flooded. What does that mean? It means that large portions of all five boroughs are gone for good, including much of Manhattan below 34th Street. So, you know, I guess Al-Qaeda and ISIS and all of them, all they just have to keep saying is, you know, Americans, keep eating what you're eating. You know, keep eating what you're eating, and we'll do, that'll do the work of the terrorists. You know what I mean? It's just, that's planetary destruction happening right there, right before our eyes. We're drowning in it. Okay, so let's see. I had another climate change page open. Oh, and by the way, regarding World Vegan Summit and Expo, I see that the haters are out. We're getting a lot of hate mail. Apparently, well, it was brought to my attention that there was a sponsor, which I thought was organic produce delivery, and it turns out that there were also eggs offered. So there apparently might be some inconsistencies with some of the sponsors signing on with us. I mean, they know that all their products have to be vegan, but sometimes there are things that we can't anticipate, and we'll just do a review of the sponsor situation. I appreciate all the haters coming out and pointing out inconsistencies and blaming Professor Francione for it. You know, they're saying, oh, look, he's exploiting animals with his the sponsorships of the World Vegan Summit and Expo, when he has absolutely nothing to do with sponsorship, who the sponsors are. Hey, it's all on me, but I see that, you know, a lot of the haters are a lot of the haters who seem to love HSUS over the years, and a lot of these groups, you know, I do have to point out that, you know, a lot of people criticize Professor Francione, but, you know, when that cloud clears, usually it turns out that he's just putting forth a consistent position for the animals, for veganism, anti-speciesist position. But have your fun, and we'll just review our sponsors and take care of that this week. And you can join us at the World Vegan Summit. It's worldvegansummit.com. on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. On Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And there are a couple of extraneous Bob Linden pages just to keep me doing everything in triplicate to make sure I'm not efficient at doing anything. Today we have Shoshana Castle returning. She's the co-author of Rethink Food, 100 Plus Doctors Can't Be Wrong, a book co-written with Amy Lee Goodman, and which is now available in many health food stores and select Whole Foods around the country. And welcome back, Shoshana. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for including me in this wonderful conversation.
Well, thank you for being here. So, Rethink Food, 100 Plus Doctors Can't Be Wrong. Wrong about what?
Well, I think now it's more like 1,000 doctors can't be wrong, because what we're seeing today is a wonderful consortium of so many more medical doctors and scientists in so many communities from all around the world that are coming together to talk about why meat and dairy are so harmful for our bodies. So I need to change that and get into my edition 2 or 3 with 1,000 doctors can't be wrong.
That's which is fantastic.
Very exciting,
yeah.
Because, yes, the evidence is now so clear.
It is, and normally people only ask for a second opinion, and we were up to 100 opinions, and now you're at 1,000 opinions, and it's really been proven. Right? For example, we do have some medical doctors who'll be at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, Dr. John McDougall, for example, who for many decades has been making people healthy through being vegan, and Dr. Milton Mills will talk about how we are herbivores, not omnivores, not carnivores. Dr. Antenna Roba will be with us. He was one of the 100 doctors, wasn't he, Dr. Roba?
I believe. Yes, he was indeed.
Yeah. So the book has been well received in the medical community then, and the medical community is coming on our side.
It's so exciting. They are embracing the evidence, all the scientific research, hundreds upon hundreds of decades of research that are proving, especially dairy, how harmful dairy is indeed to our bodies, and how it is directly related to so many of the leading epic diseases today that we're seeing so tragically, especially juvenile diabetes today. Mm-hmm. Children are stricken with diabetes, and it's not their fault. They're given milk at the schools. Moms and dads aren't aware of the danger, the harmful damage that milk causes. And so we're seeing it early on in children today with rheumatoid arthritis, juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, something that is completely preventable. Never mind the slight little sliver of the genetic diseases. We're talking about the ability to take charge of our health and to prevent these diseases from ever occurring, not having to live with these diseases. And there is a simple solution, according to the now 1,000-plus doctors, and that is to simply eliminate meat and dairy from the diet and to bring in the nutrient-rich, valuable phytoestrogen foods that are so tasty, and that's plant foods, all the nutritious, delicious foods that grow from soil and sun and water, the foods that we were designed to eat. So that's the story today, and it's very exciting that there's so many conferences taking place all around the world where medical doctors and audiences of young people are sitting today learning, absorbing all this information and saying, yes, I want to do this, help me. It's not easy, though. Sometimes for so many, it's just not easy to take those steps to not fall back and have that grotesque sandwich or the glob of cheese. Cheese has queso morphine. Morphine. It's an ingredient naturally found in all dairy. Queso morphine. It has opiates.
So
natural
it's drug. It was to make the baby cow go back for more, but it's addictive for people. People always say, "Oh, I can't give up cheese." Well, they're addicted, apparently, right?
Yes, exactly. And we don't know that. so many people, including myself, so long ago, I loved cheese because I had to have it, knowing that it was fatty and not good for me, and it slowed me down. It created fatigue, it potential osteoporosis, inflammation. But why did I need it? Why did I feel I had to have it? Because of the queso morphine. So very poorly designed. Sure, milk is very important, but it belongs to the babies of the same species.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, never, I think the first step is that parents should recognize that their children are not baby cows. And I can't understand why we've picked cows. You know, why not feed your children dog milk or cat milk or, you know, I don't know. But it just, why? Why cows?
Well,
you know, there's
remember,
no reason.
Yeah, Dr. Spock, Benjamin Spock.
Sure.
Wrote a book that was the bestseller. Every mom and dad read Dr. Benjamin Spock's book. Well, I believe in the 80s, he came out to say that no longer did he recommend any milk whatsoever for any child after the age of two. But what never whatsoever under the age of one should a baby consume any cow's milk because of the aggressive growth from the natural growth hormone called IGF-1. Extremely dangerous, can be extremely dangerous, and cancer cells love the presence of IGF-1 because they multiply, which is what IGF-1 was designed to do, to quickly grow the baby cow into a very big cow in about 9 months, because the baby cow feeds from mother for about 9 months to a year. We should not be ingesting this milk, this food that belongs to a newborn baby, giving this food to our children or to ourselves as mature, grown adults for our bones. It does not do the body good. Harvard University recently declared that got milk does not translate to got strong bones. Imagine that, Harvard University. And Cornell and Harvard both have their own food pyramid, which does not include any meat or dairy. Mm. So think about that. All those scientists and doctors from some of the most prestigious universities worldwide are declaring no meat, no dairy in their food pyramid. I grew up with the USDA food pyramid.
Mm-hmm, right. I was given cow's milk every day in public school in PS 152 Manhattan. Every day we got cow's milk and cookies. It's just indoctrination from a very wealthy industry that has a lot of money to spend on promotion to say, you know, does a body good when apparently it does a body in.
It causes osteoporosis on a very large scale, fractures never like before. So here we are, the country that produces and consumes the most amount of dairy products has the largest amount of fractures in the world. The countries that consume the least amount of dairy products have the least amount of fractures. So one might ask, is there a relationship or is that just purely coincidental? But the fact is, the evidence is from Dr. Amy Leneau, a scientist. I can name you 20 scientists that are very closely involved with studies of the health consequences of consuming cow's milk.
Mm-hmm. And as you said, well, it grows baby cows really quickly, but apparently in people it grows tumors really quickly. Big, strong tumors,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Tumors, because of the cell multiplication factor from the natural growth hormone found for the baby cow, IGF-1, it causes osteoporosis because, you know, women are looking for answers. As we get older, we need to be careful and consume more calcium. We're afraid of brittle bones. We all get that. But we don't know the real story. So it's very important for you to have these types of shows to expose the truth. And more we're seeing on social media, and more books are being produced to educate women today, explaining that the actual consumption of the yogurt or calcium or drinking the milk every day is causing osteoporosis, simply because when we consume any dairy product and the body breaks it down and absorbs the milk, the casein, the blood becomes highly acidic, and we need a very specific pH balance in our blood for a healthy metabolism, healthy survival. But with this acidity in our bloodstream, which is immediately caused by any dairy consumption, our body knows exactly what to do, and it goes directly to our bones to extract the calcium from our bones, deposit it into our bloodstream, to neutralize that acidity. So every meal, every time, every day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, if we're having any type of dairy product, our body knows what to do. It's going to our bones, removing the calcium, depositing the calcium into our bloodstream to neutralize the pH. And time after time, month after month, year after year, we're getting osteoporosis and brittle bones. That's why it's so bad for women, especially.
Mm. A lot of hip fractures, right? Is that, I mean, people are...
Yes. Yeah,
that seems to be a big problem.
The highest rate in the world in the U.S., the good old U.S. of A.
Mm-hmm. I remember seeing in the China study T. Colin Campbell saying that the dairy protein is the number one carcinogen to which Americans are exposed. And then, you know, if you look at what's in milk under the microscope, it's full of pus, quite often leukemia, tuberculosis. I mean, it doesn't really, I mean, it looks nice, it looks pure, but wow, what's in it, right?
So much more than that, because not only does it have the saturated fat and the hormones and the toxins, there's industrial pollutants, the artificial growth hormones, which includes and leads to just a whole list of serious diseases, from heart disease, breast cancer. There's a direct relationship because of the hormones in milk to breast cancer, prostate cancer, ovarian cancer, arthritis, allergies. I mean, allergies today are directly related to dairy, especially in children. Eczema, there's been so many articles, research today from around the world connecting the consumption of milk with eczema. Ear infections, Crohn's disease, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Wow. Wow. So it is something. And then, you know, I'm really kind of tired of hearing vegetarians, maybe we'll get to the video, the audio clip later, but Jane Goodall saying, well, I'm a vegetarian because it's healthy, but she's not a vegan, so it's not really healthy.
How many people are not aware? They're just not aware. They need to learn.
Okay, we'll continue. We need to take a break now. We will continue with Shoshana Castle, author, co-author of Rethink Food, 100 Plus Doctors. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. On Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook. Please join us at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, July 29th, 30th, and 31st on the campus of the University of California in Berkeley. We want to try to help everybody go vegan so we can save their children, save the planet, save the animals. Today we are talking to Shoshana Castle. She's co-author of Rethink Food, 100 Plus Doctors Can't Be Wrong, now available in many health food stores around the country and many Whole Foods around the country. And it's almost like rediscover food. It's, for so many people, they're so indoctrinated, but I guess they expect to go to, from their dinner plate to the hospital, you know. I mean, that seems to be what it is, but it doesn't have to be that way. And we were talking about dairy, how scary it is, and, you know, what a health disaster. But dairy is a disaster that just keeps on giving, Shoshana. And it's an environmental disaster also, whether we're talking about heavily confined animals or the so-called pasture-raised or grazing animals, who actually produce up to 400% more methane than those who are harshly confined. And none of it is fair. None of it is right. And it's just another disaster there.
And animals, and that's with a B, are killed.
Say that again. I'm sorry. Your mic wasn't quite on. What were you saying? Start again.
27 billion animals are killed every year as a food source in the United States. 30 million are killed every day. That's a massive number. So we can no longer ignore what's also happening. In addition to the ethical issues, the suffering of these animals, we need to be aware of what's happening, how our food is grown. These animals feel. They feel pain. They have eyes to see, to make judgment. They have a nervous system. Okay, they run away from fear. They enjoy time with their babies. They are community animals. They play together. We cannot ignore this as humans. We need to feel compassion for these animals because they are in the most miserable, filthiest of conditions, living in their own feces, stench, breathing ammonia from their urine, unable to turn around, loaded with toxins, living in very unhealthy, pandemic, disease-ridden conditions. And we need to know that. We need to know the suffering of these animals that eventually make their way to our plate. And the environmental havoc it's wreaking today, especially in our water. We have a crisis, a huge water crisis in the United States. We have water wars like nobody even knows what's going on behind the back doors, discussions about water. And the majority of our water goes to the agribusiness growing these foods, soybeans and corn, that feed the animals that we eat. 80% of all soy, as you know, and corn go to the animals, not people.
And alfalfa, which is very water-intensive also, right?
You might have heard Saudi Arabia recently put in a huge contract to purchase alfalfa from the United States because they can no longer grow alfalfa in Saudi Arabia because they don't have water. But it's draining our fresh water resource to grow this alfalfa to feed the cows that will become food. So it's highly unsustainable. We can no longer ignore this. We have 7 billion population, and it's time to face the facts and know that plant nutrition has all the nutrient value that our body needs. Super athletes today, gold medalists, are plant-based exclusively today. So it does work. The formula, for those that may not be so cognizant of the environmental or the ethical issues, just focusing on the health issues, this is going to give a person the greatest stamina, the best health, no fatigue, really, according to so many of the athletes that I've interviewed in the last few months. These are like super world-class athletes. They're going plant-based. Today, right. There's a huge movement across the globe. It's very exciting.
Join the vegan movement. Do we need to take another break? We'll continue our discussion with Shoshana Castle, co-author of Rethink Food, 100 Plus Doctors Can't Be Wrong. So it's time for you to be right. Go vegan. Second hour of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. We are live Sundays from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Time. You can click Listen Live at goveganradio.com, where the program is archived. You can also find the Donate button there to help us with our work on air and in creating events. And yes, we are now inexplicably broadcasting for over 15 years, as heard on the Air America Radio Network, CBS, and Clear Channel radio stations around the country, and iTunes, etc. Probably with the Genesis Communications Network now for a few years as time flies. GCNlive.com. You can check out the other programs there. And when we joined the network, we were told we're the first food show. And up until then, I didn't realize this is a food show, but I'm reminded by the title of the book of the author who was on the show today, Rethink Food, 100 Plus Doctors Can't Be Wrong. The Genesis Communications Network can't be wrong. This must be a show about food and everything. You know, being vegan is about everything. Seinfeld did the show about nothing. This is the show about everything. And we're talking to Shoshana Castle and the book, Rethink Food, 100 Plus Doctors Can't Be Wrong, now available in many health food stores around the country, including many Whole Foods. And 100 Plus Doctors Can't Be Wrong, she mentioned earlier. She left off a zero. It probably should be 1,000 plus doctors. Yeah. You know, where's the decimal point, the zero, and all of
truth.
That? So, and what prompted you to go vegan yourself again?
Twofold, the suffering of animals. When I learned, so we all have our learning curve as we go. We learn every day something new, which is why these shows are so very important. And also, I was able to witness so many people that were so very sick, mostly cancer, stage 3, stage 4 cancer, that actually reversed their cancer by eliminating meat and dairy from their diet, going high nutrient value foods, a lot of raw foods, I must say, and organic, and they stopped the cancer from multiplying and lived very good lives. One died 3 years later, although the doctor gave her 2 to 3 months most to live. She lived 3 full years after, and something else got her. Pneumonia killed her. So that's why I went plant-based. My husband, too, for those reasons. Jack went for environmental reasons, ethical reasons, and health reasons.
Well, there's every reason in the world, and really, when you come right down to it, the only excuse people can have is, it tastes good, you know? That's basically, and really, it doesn't taste good, it's the gravy, or, you know, the sauce, or...
Correct,
you know,
yes.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's, mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
It's true, we have parties, Hunter's Gone Vegan parties. My husband, decades ago, was a hunter, his father took him hunting. We have a group of hunters that have gone vegan, and we expose hunters to delicious, nutritious plant nutrition, 7-course, 8-course meals. And we're watching hunters stop hunting, which is something my husband is very passionate about. And it does work. People change their minds about it.
We'll have to have one or a few of them on the show to talk about that then, because that's...
Let's do that.
Well, it's all a reversal for us, right? I mean, we grew up in a society of animal exploitation, and so there's always, you know, some kind of story, whether it be Howard Lyman, the 4th-generation cattle rancher, mm-hmm. who winds up going yes. vegan. I mean, I was engaged and married to a butcher's daughter, so I figured, well, that'll be my way against, you know, way to get the in-laws, you know what I mean? So
we all have our stories and our history, and we learn, and we evolve, and we have compassion, and now we know. I did want to say I was listening to the excellent literature, the information from Oceana when I was on hold, and Oceana was describing the fisheries and the water system today. So in my other book, The Meaty Truth, we bring up Fisteria. Fisteria is a nasty, nasty disease that has killed over 1 billion, that we know of, 1 billion fish. And it creates these horrendous lesions on the fish, and the fish suffer, and humans are known to have Fisteria that handle the fish and also handle the manure from pig factories. These factory farms that produce pigs have massive quantities of manure, so we can't ignore this crappy subject of where does the manure go.
Mm-hmm.
There's 20,000 factory farms in the United States that are on a massive scale. Their manure very often spills into our water streams, our waterways, our rivers, our lakes. That manure contains loads of viruses and bacteria and volatile gases and makes its way into fish. And there's a disease named Fisteria, which is very dangerous and has killed over 1 billion fish. So Oceana's information during the show reminded me of Fisteria, and I wanted to bring that to your intelligent audience.
Yeah, and also I like to remind people that they talk about sustainable seafood, and there really isn't sustainable seafood. I mean, the oceans are depleted mainly to feed land animals. It seems like half the catch goes to feed the animals people eat. These horrible fish farms everywhere, are polluting, and sometimes what is it like five times the fish, on the fish farms they're eating loads of fish, which I mean it's all a disaster. Fish full of cholesterol. Maybe a little later on in this hour, I'm going to get to the story of GMO salmon, which was approved by the FDA, which is more insanity. And
unbelievable. What a tragedy.
Yeah. And fish are full of cholesterol also, they're heavy metals and not a healthy food, not brain food. And they feel too, they have faces, let's just leave them alone, So, yeah.
Well, our oceans, unfortunately, are a dumping ground for garbage today. It seems that way, especially with all the plastics that break down from the sun. And the amount of toxins and mercury, especially, that are found today in our marine life, we cannot ignore this. It's another food source that is going away, going, gone. The fish belong for other fish that belong to other fish, so they have food to eat.
Right.
And that's a chain that belongs in the ocean, not for us to, like you said, take out to feed animals. The formula needs to change, and it is changing. People are addressing these issues, and we're seeing effective change. Not fast enough, that's for sure. And that's the problem. This is a slow boat to, I don't want to say China, with all the discussion today about China, but we need to ramp it up, and it needs to change the way we look at it in a nanosecond.
Definitely. And for all the activists, I mean, we're all of us, of course, despise SeaWorld and, in reality, there are, maybe 30, less than 30 orcas who are prisoners at SeaWorld, and how many more fish and whales and dolphins and sea life we would help if we encouraged everyone to go vegan, really. I mean, that's if we love the prisoners who were there, there are so many of them who wind up in nets and who don't have the names. We don't know them, but put the activism toward going vegan and saving so many more lives, really. I think
it goes to supply demand, Bob, as you know. So if we demand entertainment by animals, somehow there's going to be a corporation that's going to deliver that supply. If we demand meat, dairy, we're going to continue to increase the amount of factory farms. So we have that decision. We are the heroes. We are the champions. We can say no, divert ourselves from old bad habits, take charge of our health, and be good to ourselves, great for the environment, great for the animals, and it's a win-win situation. And I think we're finding a lot of change today, especially in colleges today. Young men and women today are realizing the suffering of animals, the disaster of their environment, their future, and their health, the cost of health today, and the amount of pills that people are taking. I think we're seeing some changes that are very exciting.
I think so, too. And people shouldn't think that, it's just factory farms, because it's the family farms, too. There's no humane meat. But there'll always be somebody who wants to fill that, that demand to, make people feel better about, what they're doing. So instead of going vegan, they may say, oh, I'll have cage-free eggs, or this is from a family farm, as if there's really any difference. I mean, it's really all animal agriculture. It's all cruel, environmentally destructive, and there's no distinction to be made. The only thing to do is really go vegan if you care. Which reminds me that, you know, we have the World Vegan Summit and Expo coming up in Berkeley, July 29th, 30th, and 31st. And I just put in an application with the city of Berkeley this past week to organize a walk to start the event, the Vegan Because We Care walk that would be from historic People's Park to the campus of UC Berkeley to get that started. So I wanted to alert people that the application is in, and I expect to get approval shortly, and we'll all just get together and, you know, join forces to create a vegan world and inform ourselves and create strategies to get it together. And that's worldvegansummit.com. So was there anything else you wanted to mention or any subject to address?
Well, you're so kind. Thank you for asking. Just for those listeners that aren't familiar with eliminating meat and dairy, we've all been there. Just to think about, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. But take the bigger step, a pound of prevention, because it's worth a lot more than just a pound of cure. So take the big leap. Get excited about it, because your taste buds are going to be so tantalized with delicious,
we have
food.
The best food. We do. We have the best food. Is there a website for people to visit? We're out of time, so what would that
yes,
be?
Yes, it's rethinkfoodbook.com. Rethinkfoodbook.com, and both books are available also on Amazon. Thank you so much, Bob.
Thanks for being with us today, Shoshana Castle. Rethink Food. 100-plus doctors can't be wrong. It's Go Vegan Radio. Go Vegan Radio. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, the Bob Linden pages on Facebook, and WorldVeganSummit.com. Earlier I mentioned that Jane Goodall is a non-vegan vegetarian. She knows better. She was interviewed by Amy Goodman at the climate conference in Paris. Let's listen to some of that audio now.
My name's Jane Goodall. Enough people have told me so this morning. I came from the UK, but that was almost directly from Latin America. Before that was North America. Anyway, round and round and round. And I'm here really to talk about the importance of saving the rainforest as a way of mitigating climate change, because I know more about that than many of the other issues, although I talk about all of them.
Why is it important to save the rainforest?
Because they absorb carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, and as we cut them down and burn them, that CO2 is released back from the trees, the leaves, and also from the forest soils. And about 50% of our tropical rainforests have already gone. They're going at a tremendously fast rate. And even when they're protected in many countries, because of corruption, the power of the corporations, the worship of money and profit, the protection isn't always saving the forest.
You have recently been in the United States. You know there's a presidential election going on there. Can you talk about, especially in the Republican Party, the presidential candidates, like the leading candidate, Donald Trump's denial that climate change is caused by human beings overwhelmingly?
Well, I listened to Donald Trump saying, you know, that he doesn't believe that we've caused or are causing climate change, and some of the other right-wing leaders. And I just ask myself, do they really believe what they're saying? Because it seems so very obvious. And if you read the facts, I don't see how you can come to any other conclusion but that it's our misuse of fossil fuels, the emissions from agriculture, from industry, from households, the vast impact that's being made by this intensive farming of animals. And in order to feed the billions and billions of cows and pigs and chickens, even if you don't don't care about the cruelty. Even if you refuse to admit that these are individuals with feelings who feel pain and have emotions, even if you don't admit that, you have to admit huge areas of forest are cut down to grow grain to feed them. Intensive cattle grazing is turning forest to woodland to scrubland. And food in one end, gas out both ends, that's methane. And that's an even more potent greenhouse gas than CO2. It's about 36% of all methane emissions come from this intensive farming.
Cows,
pigs, the whole thing.
Can you talk about how diet fuels climate change and why you're a vegetarian?
I'm a vegetarian partly because, you know, I respect animals. I know they're all individuals. And I wouldn't eat a cow any more than I would eat my dog. That's the truth. And pigs are more intelligent than many dogs. But, you know, in addition, when you know the impact on the environment of this intensifying eating of meat, it's also true that being a vegetarian is more healthy. And so everything combined, I would be a vegan if I was in one place, but you have to be a bit careful if you're a vegan to get, you know, the right sort of nutrients and so forth. And as I'm 300 days a year on the road, I just vegetarian is sometimes hard.
Jane, listen to what you said.
Here, let's
that's enough, Justin. I mean, she wants to save the rainforests, which are being decimated to feed animals or grow their feed. Another one of those, I would be a vegan, but. Oh, if I were in one place, huh? I'm on the road 300 days a year. Jane, please, you know. And vegans have to watch out for nutrition. Well, you're consuming dairy products? She should listen to earlier in the show. Anyway, it makes no sense. She respects animals. She wouldn't eat a cow any more than she would eat her dog. And, she's basically eating the cow. That's what dairy is. Jane, I would be a vegan, but... Somebody get her a peanut butter and jelly sandwich so when she's traveling. There has to be some, you know, some catering service that can feed her, huh? Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and there are two other Bob Linden pages there, so I can have many, many friends. I guess they max out at 5,000 each, and occasionally it opens up. People don't want to be my friend anymore. I can understand that. Because they might be upset that I'm, astonished at Jane Goodall. That audio clip we played before the break really is amazing. You know, there she is at the climate conference in Paris. She's there to save the rainforest. She's there to oppose climate change. She's there saying she respects animals. But she's one of those, I would be a vegan, but, you know, and she says she would be a vegan, but, if she were in one place, but she's on the road 300 days a year, so, in that case, she should cause destruction of the rainforest. She should cause climate change. She respects all animals. She wouldn't eat a cow any more than she would eat her dog, she says. And yet, by consuming dairy, she might as well be eating the cow, the baby who's taken from mom at birth to become veal. Mom who becomes a hamburger after she can't give milk anymore, the milk that Jane Goodall is drinking on the airplane, I guess. She respects animals, she says. I would be a vegan, but she talks about methane. Well, cows, methane, climate change, deforestation. I would be a vegan, but. Would be nice. Well, I guess do as she says, not as she does, okay? I mean, she gave us all the reasons. She just can't handle it. Guess she can't find, you know, isn't there a vegan delivery service, really? You know, but can't she make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? But instead, she's concerned about health issues with being vegan while she consumes cow's milk and chicken eggs. I would be a vegan, but. Okay. I've been wanting to talk about this for a bit. The FDA has determined that the Aqua Advantage salmon is as safe to eat as non-GE salmon, which really should make you concerned about eating non-GMO salmon. But that's what we have coming to market now, as the Food and Drug Administration says. I have to get this on my screen. I have my red light camera information on my screen. I have a trial tomorrow. I'm fighting a red light camera ticket that I got in Daly City, San Mateo County. I now boycott Daly City and San Mateo County because I think it's a ripoff to have these red light cameras. And maybe I'll go to a vegetarian house afterward in San Jose to ease the pain, especially if the judge says guilty, because that's $400 guilt. Did George Bush ever have to pay $400 or Dick Cheney or Hillary Clinton for a war that killed hundreds of thousands of people, an illegal war? No, I have to pay for some faulty camera equipment. So anyway, but all right, I can deal with it now that I'm thinking, I'll go to Vegetarian House, my favorite vegan restaurant. It's one of the best in the world, 100% vegan, 520 East Santa Clara Street. Check out the menu. It's really hard to decide what to order when you're there because everything looks so good, and it's really great. Great food there, from vegan sushi and pizza to, you know, it's a great international menu. Check out vegetarianhouse.us. Fantastic restaurant. If you're coming to the Bay Area for the World Vegan Summit and Expo, leave a couple of extra days maybe before and after so you can tour some of the great restaurants here. And this is certainly one of them, really one of my favorites. And if you are in the Bay Area, Vegetarian House caters. So if you have a business event coming up or a social event or you're getting married and you want to be sure that the food is going to be great, get in touch with Vegetarian House. That's vegetarianhouse.us. Organic restaurant, non-GMO. You will never find GMO salmon at Vegetarian House. You will find GMO salmon in stores coming soon without a label. What does it say here? It says, the FDA scientists rigorously evaluated extensive data submitted by the manufacturer, Aqua Bounty Technologies, and other peer-reviewed data to assess whether AquaAdvantage salmon met the criteria for approval established by law, namely safety and effectiveness. The FDA, this fish actually has to technically be named a drug, approved as a drug. The data demonstrated, I'm quoting here, the data demonstrated that the inserted genes remained stable over several generations of fish, that food from the GE salmon is safe to eat by humans and animals, that the genetic engineering is safe for the fish, and the salmon meets the sponsor's claim about faster growth. That's why it has genes from another species, so the salmon grow faster. And if you believe all of these assurances, I know of a nuclear power plant in Japan that also was guaranteed to be safe. Also here it says, in addition, FDA assessed the environmental impacts of approving the application and found that the approval would not have significant impact on the environment of the United States. Why? Well, it says here, that's because the multiple containment measures the company will use in the land-based facilities in Panama and Canada make it extremely unlikely that the fish could escape and establish themselves in the wild. So I would be very worried right now if I lived in Panama or Canada. And when the SEC says that it's extremely unlikely that the fish could escape and establish themselves in the wild, they're probably swimming in a pond near you right now. By the way, I should mention Professor Gary Francione is off tonight for personal reasons. He will return next week. And I continue here on this GMO salmon. It says, labeling food containing ingredients derived from genetically engineered sources. The FDA saying, at the same time, many consumers also want to know whether their food or any ingredients in their food is derived from genetically engineered sources. Although the law does not require food containing ingredients derived from these sources to be labeled as GE, FDA recognizes that many consumers are interested in the information. Well, isn't that special? Okay, what else here? I think there was, I think I had it on another tab also. There was something I wanted to look at regarding the GMO salmon coming to your plate very soon. Let's see, is this one? Is this the one? Maybe it's this one here. Oh, no, I don't want to read about the red light camera anymore. Let's see. I think it had to do with the environmental consequences here. Let's see. Again, it says the FDA assessed the environmental impacts of approving this application and found that the approval would not have significant impact on the environment of the United States. Again, related to supposed containment. Now, all well and good if you want to believe the FDA. Our government never lies to us, but a lawsuit was filed, I think within the last few days, by Earth Justice, and that was covered on RT. So let's give a listen to that right now.
A new lawsuit is challenging the Food and Drug Administration for approving a type of genetically engineered salmon. The lawsuit brings together a group of environmental, commercial, fishing, and consumer groups in opposition to what's been dubbed Franken-salmon. For more, let's talk now to Brittany Hardy with Earth Justice. She's one of the lawyers bringing the suit. Welcome to the program, Brittany. What is your goal in filing this suit against the FDA? What's remarkable about this, I understand, is that they will not even require the salmon to be labeled, correct?
That's true. I think one of the most important things to keep in mind, too, is that this is the first time any country has ever approved a genetically engineered animal for food. And so it's really important that the environmental analysis is complete and comprehensive. In this case, the Food and Drug Administration doesn't really have expertise on the environmental aspects of what happens if these genetically engineered salmon are released into the ecosystem. And so they didn't do a comprehensive enough job in looking at those questions and didn't consult with the agencies that do have that expertise, the wildlife agencies. And as you mentioned, another issue is that the Food and Drug Administration is allowing the labeling to be voluntary rather than requiring mandatory labeling. Mm.
We'll talk more about this Franken salmon. Who's producing it, and what is their case for genetically modifying a fish?
Sure. The company that's producing the fish is called Aqua Bounty Technologies, and they claim that the fish is going to grow twice as fast as the wild Atlantic salmon. And so they're hoping to help address overfishing or food issues. But the problem is that the way that they're producing these salmon now, they're going to be making the eggs in Prince Edward Island, Canada, flying the eggs to Panama to be raised and filleted, and then shipping them back to the U.S. So their economic model really doesn't allow for mass production unless they would start raising these fish in the U.S., which
we'll come back to this audio after the break when we continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. We'll get back to that audio after the break. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and you can register now for the World Vegan Summit and Expo at WorldVeganSummit.com. You are not going to want to miss this awesome three-day event at the end of July on the campus of the University of California in Berkeley. Prior to the break, my timing is always off. I can't keep track of time here. It just flies by these 2 hours. But we did start an interview regarding a lawsuit filed by Earth Justice regarding GMO salmon approved by the FDA. This interview was on RT. Maybe we can finish off the interview and hear the end of it now.
The problem is that in the lower 48 states here, we have wild salmon that are critically endangered and impacted by a lot of threats from damming to habitat destruction. So these genetically engineered fish would outcompete the wild Atlantic salmon that we know for food or potentially interbreed with them.
Well, you mentioned that the Food and Drug Administration didn't really necessarily evaluate the impact that it could have on the environment. Did they do anything to see whether or not it would even be safe for humans to consume? Did they do any testing like that? We have about a minute.
There are some questions about whether the food safety issues were analyzed enough, but the lawsuit that we're bringing focuses on the environmental risks that the fish present. And the authority, really, of the Food and Drug Administration to approve these fish.
All right, Brittany Hardy, Senior Associate Attorney at Earth Justice, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it. And also, as the FDA said, it has determined that the approval of the AquaVantage salmon application would not have a significant environmental impact because of the multiple and redundant measures being taken to contain the fish and prevent their escape and establishment in the environment. These measures include a series of multiple and redundant levels of physical barriers placed in the tanks and in the plumbing. Oh, trust the plumbing. And in the plumbing that carries water out of the facilities to prevent the escape of eggs and fish. Finally, the AquaVantage salmon are they're reproductively sterile, so that even in the highly unlikely event of escape, they would be unable to interbreed or establish populations in the wild, which means look out for wild and crazy frankenfish coming to a pond near you in the not too distant future. If you can take the word of the FDA to heart, I would worry. So anyway, I again invite you to join us at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Go to worldvegansummit.com. You'll see that we have truly amazing speakers covering a wide array of subject matter. Professor Gary Francione and Anna Charlton will be there discussing the abolitionist approach to animal rights and the ethics of eating animals. And just, you know, we'll have an art show from Sue Coe, and just looking at just amazing speakers. We're going to have a special video presentation from Chris Hedges. Comedian Mike Kaplan will be there. Who else? We will have, we'll be covering, we'll have an environmental crisis forum. Dr. John McDougall will be there. Keith McHenry, founder of Food Not Bombs. Dr. Milton Mills. David Neybert will be there discussing animals and capitalism. We will have discussions on veganic agriculture, veganic gardening. It's really going to be quite amazing. We have a couple of family members of Cesar Chavez to remind us that he was completely vegan, as we have our event across from the Cesar Chavez Union on the campus of UC Berkeley and in the Martin Luther King Jr. Student Union. And on and on the list goes. Check it out at worldvegansummit.com and join us there. Thanks for listening. We will talk to you again next week, and go vegan.